Joining us during this segment of the program is David Ackerman, compliance and contract specialist attorney. He has been a guest on this program before. And David, welcome to Front and Center. David, can you hear me?
Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for having me on.
Well, one of the reasons we have you on is people are wondering what's going to happen with soon-to-be President Trump, and in particular, the DOL rule, which made a lot of conversation on this program when it was first announced by the Obama administration. But let's backtrack just a bit for those in the audience who might not know. What is the DOL rule?
On its face, just so your listeners are aware, it's a rule that the Department of Labor has put into place, which would require financial advisors to act in your best interest when they're dealing with your retirement money. So think of 401k or individual retirement accounts, things of that nature. So on its face, it actually sounds like a great idea because it heightens the requirements for people who are handling your retirement account money.
And you know, David, at the time when the administration announced this, the reaction from some people was, well, aren't they doing that now? Well, and that would be my question. Why weren't they doing this?
There's multiple standards in finance, and it's very important to know who is doing what and why. So, for example, if you're working with somebody who's a broker-dealer, meaning they're trading stocks on the stock market for you, and they're regulated by what's called FINRA, they have a what's called suitability standard, which means that they need to ensure that every investment opportunity that they bring to you is suitable for your particular circumstances. This rule is going to take that standard and heighten it to what we in the registered investment advisory world have, which is called a fiduciary standard. Most people are probably used to fiduciaries being attorneys or things of that nature where there's a very high standard and you have to act in the person's best interests at all times. However, there were additional requirements that were put on top of that. So it's moving into this massive, massive tool of regulation that they're trying to use to curb the industry.
So what happens with the President Trump? What's the conversation been around his camp, even during the campaign, but now in the aftermath?
And this is where I'm hoping he's getting some very good advice. The truth is, absolutely no one knows what he's going to do with this rule. Nobody. I don't think he knows what he's going to do. However, the way the industry is right now, it's about split. Some people are trying to comply with it as if it's going to go into effect, and the other half is kind of taking a sit back and wait and see approach. I cannot express to you how dangerous that is for the wait and see people. It is not easy to repeal a regulation, to simply just decide you're not going to use it anymore or change it or revert back to the old system. You have multiple companies that have spent millions upon millions of dollars to try to comply with this rule when it goes into effect in April. So my guess is they may alter it, but they're definitely not going to be able to get rid of it completely. So the people who are preparing for it now are going to have a substantial competitive advantage.
Well, you know, just as an aside, David, that's what I've always said about the Affordable Care Act, that you had companies that spent billions of dollars in order to put the framework in place for the Affordable Care Act. It just can't be repealed with a snap of a finger, can it?
Not really, no, because something has to go in place of it. When you have systems and procedures and policies, regardless of whether you're talking about the legal side of it or the economics, just think common sense. Those procedures are in place specifically to comply with the laws that we currently have today. If you change those laws at the snap of a finger, that takes an entire industry and throws it into disarray. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know any industry that's been turned on its head overnight that actually did well.
That's right. Back to the financial industry, though. We're talking about $20 trillion here, right?
Mostly, yeah. It's such a large amount of retirement assets. And between you and I know that you've discussed this on your show before, when you're talking about people's retirement money, this is, they've worked their entire lives, they have strived to make sure that they are comfortable when they retire, and that money deserves to be protected. The question is, how do you find that balance between protecting the individual investor, but then constraining the finance industry so much that you can't give that investor the suitable products for their particular circumstances in retirement? So something similar to this was enacted in England, and the industry as a whole shrunk by almost 25%. So we're hoping that that's not what we're going to see here.
Well, that was going to be my next question. When this DOL rule goes into effect next April, does it strike that balance?
It could. I think it's a slightly overly burdensome. I like the idea of bringing people to a fiduciary standard when dealing with people's retirement accounts. My mother's a New York City school teacher, and I treat every investor like it's her, specifically for that reason. However, when you're designing policies and procedures, especially at a governmental level, and you are holding an entire industry that is dealing with $20 trillion worth of retirement assets to these new rules, there has to be a balance, and I think they're slightly over the line in this particular instance. I'm hoping that they're not going to repeal it altogether, but they're going to alter it slightly so that different insurance companies and different investment products can be offered to the consumer at a reasonable level while still increasing their protection.
One of Trump's advisors, Anthony Scaramucci, managing partner of Skybridge Capital, said at one point, a Trump administration is going to repeal it, meaning the DOL rule. What do we know about Anthony?
There's a lot of pontificating that's going on right now. I'm not sure if you noticed, but this election was somewhat heated. So the entire idea that you can snap your fingers or wave a scepter and just remove a rule completely is ludicrous. It just doesn't work that way. There are two ways that they could probably go about doing it that you're going to hear a lot about over the next few days. The first is there's a series of lawsuits that have been filed against this rule. And what they're saying on TV now is, well, the Trump administration could just take a step back and decide not to fight the lawsuits, which is dangerous, and I don't think they would ever do that, because that leaves the decision in the hands of the judge and not in the hands of the lawmakers. So that's a dangerous proposition. The second one, which is probably the more likely, is that they will propose a new rule to replace the one that is currently there. And don't forget, President-elect is not in office yet.
That's right.
So all of this needs to be done between the time he takes the oath of office and April 17th when this goes into effect. That is a very short period of time. So the idea that it's going to be repealed completely, in my opinion, is a fool's errand.
Well, even a President Trump has to put together a priority list. Where do you think this ranks on his priority list?
I hope it's up there. You're talking about people's retirements, and one of the things that I thought he was very effective with during his campaign was advocating for the middle class. And this rule is designed to help the middle class. I don't necessarily think it gets there, but that's what its intention was. So I'm hoping that this is definitely higher up on the list than some of his more grandiose ideas like repealing Dodd-Frank and, you know, repealing these wide sweeping regulations, which again is very unrealistic. And I think that is just it's a lot of pontificating, and I think he's still in running mode as opposed to running the country mode.
From where you sit, has Dodd-Frank worked? Has it done what it was supposed to do?
Yes and no. It's done a lot of good. It has definitely done a lot of good. I was actually on the floor of the stock exchange when they signaled the end of the financial crisis and they raised rates by 0.25%. So Dodd-Frank did what it needed to do, but it is so large and so cumbersome, and it's still only maybe 65% or 70% enacted, meaning that there's still a tremendous amount more of that regulation that needs to go into effect, that it's not a bad idea to have lawmakers sit down, evaluate, and then look at everything else that's coming over the course of the next year to 18 months and possibly redesign it or tweak things here and there so that we can really increase growth in this country, which is what we really need.
And getting back to the DOL rule, which, as you said, goes into effect on April the 17th of next year, if you could tweak it any, even though it hasn't gone into effect yet, would you? Would you tweak it some?
Absolutely. I would love to get my hands on that. Thankfully, I'm the armchair quarterback here that's throwing stones at the people in government who are actually trying to write the legislation. My guess is there will be additional carve-outs for different products that the industry currently uses. So as of right now, the way it is written, it is actually eliminating different types of investment products for the individual investor, which in my mind is not necessarily what they wanted to do, but it's going to be a result of what they have done. In order to change that, there more likely than not will be carve-outs for different types of investment products so that the individual investor is still protected and still given that heightened level of responsibility on behalf of the financial institution, but they're not losing the amount of investment products that they could potentially be using.
Talking with David Ackerman, Chief Compliance Officer, Sound Income Strategies, LLC. David, before we wrap up this interview, if someone was seeking a financial advisor, what research should they be doing about that financial advisor?
Take a look at their background. There is a system online called the IAPD system. It's Indigo, Apple, Peter, David. Take a look at the investment advisor, put his name in or the name of the firm in, and do your due diligence. And if you're not computer savvy, try to have a friend or some sort of a coworker who is computer savvy to help you find that information. And then once you're in the room and you're talking to your advisor, that doesn't mean you have to hire them. Ask questions. If something doesn't sound right or if something doesn't feel right, make sure you ask more questions to your financial advisor who has your future in his hands than you ask for the guy when you're buying an iPhone.
Okay, well put. David, anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up our interview?
Not at all, but Dan, I have to thank you so much for tackling issues like this and getting your consumers informed, because in my personal opinion, as a chief compliance officer, my job first and foremost is to protect the market and protect the investor, and a well-educated investor is the first step in doing that. So thank you for your contribution to that.
You're welcome. David, thanks for being a guest on our program.
Take care, Dan. Have a great day.
You too.